essentially one point: ethics. The religions of the world are nearly all in trouble today. They are in trouble because they have gradually sacrificed their ethics. They have gradually made a program of expansion and conversion and have done everything possible to gain political power. All of this is contrary to the purposes of religion. The purpose of religion is to help the individual to orient constructively with both the visible and the invisible worlds in which he functions. Religion has to do, therefore, with creating a power in man, a kind of shining armor, which prohibits the entry of negative factors. The individual who wishes to compromise is going to be lost very quickly. He can say, "I'll just do this little thing once, no one cares." But that not once becomes twice, and after a while, the entire psychic life is demoralized. Also, we know that behind all of this is a great damage in the astral light of the planet. We know, for instance, and as we're beginning to recognize now, that when we get naughty, when we do what we shouldn't do, nature gets angry. And we are having today a combination of circumstances that should give us cause for a great deal of consideration. We have on one side ambitious dictators seeking to dominate countries and, if necessary, exterminate the population. And while they're hard at this, terrorist groups are out assassinating public personalities. And while all this is going on, volcanic eruptions and earthquakes are breaking out, tidal waves are rising up, cyclones are on the increase, and the temperatures and seasonal developments of the various continents are seriously affected. In other words, it's a general disturbance. The story of earthquakes and moral difficulties are very closely linked. The story of moral difficulties and epidemics and plagues are very closely linked together. In the 12th and 13th century, the church prayed for deliverance from the comet, the plague, and the Turk. And we're just about in the same spot now. We're having trouble with the Turk. We're having trouble with epidemics and ailments we know no cure for. We're endangered by natural phenomena. Everything that is happening is an indication that physical unrest, physical dissonance will result in a complete imbalance of natural processes. We cannot abuse nature any more than we can abuse each other with impunity. We cannot pollute the atmosphere and have it not polluted. We cannot do things that we shouldn't do and then expect to get away with it. But we are living in a kind of a hollow globe of energy, a tremendous, luminous, fluorescent energy. And this energy is adulterated and corrupted or strengthened and assisted by every circumstance of life. We know definitely that the present situation must be solved. We know also that it cannot be solved unless people stop doing the things that cause it. The possibility of passing a law saying that as we sow, we will not reap is just not possible. We have to take the punishment if we do the deed. Now, most everyone likes to overdraw their account so far as natural resources are concerned. We are unhappy when a bank goes bankrupt, and that's happening with unusual quantity at the present time. But we are becoming bankrupt too. And this bankruptcy of ourselves is far worse than the loss of the dollars. This bankruptcy of ourselves will and can destroy the equilibrium of the planet. The planet is alive, and the planet is getting tired, undoubtedly, of the nuisances that are inhabiting it. It is getting weary of being told constantly how we love each other and at the same time go out and kill each other. Nature is aware that we are not giving due consideration to the consequences of our own actions. And this is not only in connection with our constructive and destructive moral attitudes, but it is partly involved in the advancements of the sciences, in anything in which there are major changes in environment, there must be appropriate improvements of character or something goes wrong. Now, what goes wrong is this imbalance of energy. And it can well be that we are worried about the contamination of our drinking water. We are worried about the fact that the ocean can't carry all of the refuse that we have forever. We are worried concerning the artificial control of pesticides and so on to keep our crops coming in. These things were worrying us, but nobody does anything about it, really. They pass a series of laws in which they set up a new trouble to try to correct the old ones. But actually, somewhere in the line, the human being has got to realize that he lives in a universe of law and order. He lives in a world in which common sense exists in the atmosphere, even if it doesn't exist within man. When we find that we cannot do something, then we have to begin to think of making the changes in ourselves that are necessary so that we can survive. If we can't afford something, we cannot afford it, that's all. If we cannot continue some expansion program that is going to ultimately denude the earth and destroy its fields, we will stop doing it. There is no other way. And there is nothing that can possibly prevent the great computerizing of life. The invisible world around us is the most perfect computer that we will ever know, because it can truly measure the fall of one sparrow. It can detect the mistakes and bring out the inevitable consequences. In almost every case, mistake is suffering. And if it isn't suffering immediately, it will ultimately be suffering. And somewhere along the line, we have to realize that health is the result of not causing suffering. That health means that we have to bear witness to this universe of energies, which is perfectly balanced, in which everything necessary for existence is available, but cannot necessarily be sold on a basis of so much per share. It is something in which we have to keep the rules, and then the rules will keep us. In our own personal life, we get a whole group of psychic fantasies today that are close to the borderline of the past. We don't want to be considered superstitious like our remote ancestors. We don't want to consider our modern civilization as depending upon witch doctors for survival. But what we do feel constantly is the belief or feeling that in some way we can neutralize universal law by an attitude, that we can find some magic to cure the mistakes that we make, that we do not even have to repent them. And some religions have even gone so far as to glorify them, to tell us that these mistakes are perfectly acceptable. The atheists, on the other hand, are a negative factor because they not only deny the mistake, but they deny the universal intelligence that is behind the problem. The atheist can never solve anything. Atheism as a religion can never solve anything, because it gives us no basis of integrities upon which to build. The problem of the atheist always is that he has no internal inducement to improve. His whole inducement is to spread his own doctrines throughout a suffering world. He does not recognize the importance of having a firmness within himself that can strengthen him to be true to principles, regardless of what his theology may be. But when atheism destroys the realization of universal ethics, it is simply contributing to the general dilemma. Atheism is spreading, but not very rapidly at the moment. It is becoming more and more difficult to justify it. But not only do we have atheism with its negative attitude, but we have other people who believe firmly that we are here to do exactly as we please, enjoy anything we can get our hands on, and cheat our neighbor with impunity. We are living by a profit system in a universe in which there's only one profit, and that is virtue. We are living in a universe that is tied into a concept of universal cooperation. The function of these fields of energy can only be maintained by the cooperation of each of these different forms of energy and the beings and creatures through which they function. We know definitely that if we want to benefit from the tremendous reservoir of psychic strength that lies out there, that we have to deserve it, we have to earn it, and we have to use it wisely. Every perversion of energy will end in tragedy. And the most common tragedy, of course, is health, and the next most common tragedy is worldly goods. So we have to be prepared for this type of situation if we continue as we do now. Now, we have these ancient pictures. I know many of the great artists of the Middle Ages, the Renaissance masters, of demons of all kinds, Saint Anthony being tempted, the evil one peeking over the shoulder of the would-be saint, all of these things. The evil one in this case represents the ruler over the power of this and world of deceit. And this is the negative psychic life of the individual himself. In each person there is a redeemer and a destroyer. In each of us there is a transformation upward or a degeneration downward. And the degeneration is in the keeping of this evil spirit, which is simply the embodiment of a symbolism. Our advancement forward is in the keeping of a good and kindly spirit, which is going to bring us finally to the fulfillment of our natural destiny. So all these evil things, this world of demons that has been preserved for us, these obsessing problems that we still have. In working over the years, I've had to work with many people who were profoundly convinced that medieval sorcery was working on them today, that they are suffering definitely from the black magic of those around them. The evil spirits are moving in on them. And, of course, these folks are under the fantasy of the astral light. They are under the fantasy that makes anything you believe the truth. And that one we believe wrongly, we've got to correct it. Now, when a person has the wrong beliefs and gets into these troubles, what do they do? Well, you can go to them and you can talk with them and you can reason with them. And in many instances, you can do some good. But in a great many other instances, you can do nothing. The individual is far more certain of his own aberration than any possible solution. He has had this suffering himself, and therefore the opinion of another person is worthless. He has seen these evil spirits in his sleep, therefore who denies them is a fool. The individual who is in serious trouble has built a certainty about his trouble. He is so sure of it, so completely wrapped up in it, that no one can reach him. No one can tell him that it's his own hallucination. No one can tell him that the demons that bother him are the results of his own misuses of energy or his own misinterpretation of the happenings of living. The individual who has gradually developed a neurosis is only one step from being a black magician. Another individual who is in hysteria is already close to the magic of the astral life. These things are moods, they are conditions, they are factors that the individual himself builds up. This building up also builds up this field of energy which we are all in. The various mistakes of the whole of humanity do create in the magical energy fields a stratum of difficulty. In other words, just as surely as physical refuse can poison the planet, so psychological refuse can poison the astral light, can poison the metaphysical field of energy. If we keep on feeding delusion, it will grow and become stronger. Physically, it will gain more converts, and esoterically it will corrupt the substance from which imagination must be built. Now, imagination as a constructive force is a very beautiful thing. Imagination has given us great art and great music. It has given us some of the noblest lives the world has ever known. It has given us the dreams of a better life, stronger dreams than we would otherwise ever have. Imagination is a very beautiful thing. But if this imagination turns sour, it turns the same way that the things we see around us. We see great music turning sour. We see a terrible noise taking the place of music. We find literature turning sour. The days of great writing are no longer venerated or respected. Nobody reads them anymore. In a very short time, motion pictures and television have gotten into very serious moral difficulties, simply because they did not have the courage to stick to principles. Everywhere we turn, decadence is the prevailing circumstance. And this decadence represents a kind of infection. It is something that not only we gain through contact physically, but the energy fields that supply the life upon which we must live are also depleted. The energy fields not giving us the proper supply of constructive energy, we begin to be sick, we get tired, we get worried, we find more and more justification in fear. And all these things represent finally a vast chemistry, a great negative alchemy that is affecting all of us and affecting the world in which we live. Now, we can't necessarily go out and force a change in the astral light. It is said that after the crucifixion that Christ descended into limbo to liberate the lost souls. This was a part of the idea of the ministry, that he could cleanse or hallowed Hades. And this was part of the doctrine also in the Orient, where the Buddhas went down into the underworld to redeem the lost or tired or broken ones. Now, this does not mean that either Christianity or Buddhism or any other religion actually believed in hell. There is no conscious religion that's worth anything that believes in ultimate damnation. There must always be a redemption of some kind. But this damnation that we are worrying about is not something that we have to regard as an eternal hell. It is something which we must regard as a level of misuse, a misunderstanding, abuse of powers and privileges, that we have gradually weakened our own integrities, and if there is an evil world, it's right here, not where we go. We cannot go, as Plato pointed out, to anything much worse than we have here. And the idea that the solution lies in escaping from here is no good, because wherever we go, we take ourselves with us. And it is the self we take with us that is the greatest cause of our annoyance. It is the greatest cause of our distress and misery. Consequently, we have to get to work and more or less use fantasy, use imagination for great good. We have seen the wonderful poems of the mystics. We have seen the beautiful scriptures that have been given to us by all the nations of the world. We see the magnificent architecture. We see the tremendous beauty of the garden that has been given proper and due care. We find the glory and wisdom of the good person who has lived well in the fulfillment of duty, responsibility, and dedication. All these things are part of fantasy, part of imagination, but they are what Jack London called dreaming true. They are the thing that proves that the fantasy is really an anticipation of the fact that everything that we hope for can come. Everything we believe to be right will triumph. But at the same time, we must do what we can to get away from contributing to the attitudes that make us sick. And one of the good answers to this is that we must get over the idea that we can correct any condition we do not like unless we cannot correct it unless we outgrow it. that has to be solved. We cannot walk out on our crimes, sins, and misdemeanors. We can take them to the grave, but they will not end there. We must definitely take hold of the great concept of the ethical universe, which energies for every particular purpose. Not long ago, I read a little article about Zen and Buddhism, and in it was something I'm going to do something with some of these days, if I last that long, and that is the fact that snow was crying when it melted. Now, this is a kind of a strange thought out of context, but to the idea it is, even snow is a being. Everything is a reality of some kind. Everything that we abuse is a reality that weeps. Everything we do well is a reality that rejoices. Every single thought we have has some relation to being. Hope is a being as well as a word. Hate is a being. These things become internal monsters or good spirits depending on themselves. But everywhere there has to be this realization of the tremendous potential of being the thing we need to be. We must gradually awaken to the fact that this universe is essentially beautiful, that the Garden of Eden is still here, that all of the nobility of existence awaits release, and fantasy, the constructive fantasy, is the individual dreaming of a better world and building a foundation under the dream. Dreams come through to lead us to new certainties. Nightmares do the same. And they both use the same kind of energy, but it is differentiated by the organism through which it passes. The hater uses more energy to hate. The lover, more energy to love. The proper use of the energy resources is the cleansing of the Aegean stable in the labors of Hercules. It is also the symbol, always, of the redemption of lost souls. The lost souls are ourselves, but also the lost souls are the beauties that we have corrupted. The lost soul is harmony that we have tamed into inharmony. The lost soul is joy, which remained turned into grief. The lost soul is hope, which we have transformed into fear. They are all uses of the same great energy powers. They are the same uses that we have to make in terms of our internal lives. In external, we have to plant farming, we have to get crops, we have to find various ways of feeding the world, as we try to do. These are the physical things. In the emotional world, we also have to have our crops, our sowing, and our reaping. We have to build materials there that become part of sustaining the integrities of life. And these integrities are sustained in two ways, either from below or from above. As they are sustained from below when we create beauty and do lovely things and make wonderful poems and write great books. All these things inspire and lift the individual toward reality. On the opposite side, we have an inner life of dreams and hopes and aspirations, of love and affection, integrities. And as we cultivate these from above downward, the beauties of below come up to meet, and then we have a beautiful world. We have a world and things are done as they should be, and that we enjoy the results of this doing because it was something that we were intended to do from the beginning. There never was a time when the world was not supposed to grow. And now we have so many problems that it seems as though something more than ourselves must be to blame. We wonder whether or not the nuclear fission has rocked the foundations of heaven. It hasn't. But it is going to rock the foundations of misuse of knowledge. We have two and three great abuses that we have to watch for. Abuse of knowledge, which can lead to the most terrible difficulties. Abuse of affections, the exploitation of the natural love of the individual, of beauty and personal affections. The cleansing of the personal affectionate relationships of human beings is absolutely essential to the final ending of war. It is a well-established home, with people sacrificing a little of themselves always for the good of the family, accepting responsibility with dignity, and working together without losing individuality. This makes the home, and this is what the nations are going to have to do to make a world that can survive. So all these principles work, and they work because behind the physical sources of good, there is this invisible source of energies. Energies which express themselves as we create bodies for them. A good thought becomes a body for a beautiful energy supply. The individual wants to paint a beautiful picture, and with prayerfulness and integrity and honesty asks a little spiritual guidance in the picture, will get it. And the individual who asks only for corruption will get that also. So we have this strange world of fantasy, imagination, call it if you will, the world of the astral light, where thoughts are things, where moods are realities, and where things in this world seem very much less real than they do to us. But in this world of fantasy is the world of our hope for tomorrow. Fantasy, beautiful fantasy, is building tomorrow. Fantasy is creating the world that must be. It will come, but it will not come unless men dream it, unless human beings begin to realize the importance of it. When we use the natural resources of this world well, we will be secure. When we use the resources of this invisible realm around us, real and true, we will have peace of mind, we will have health, we will have natural and noble emotions, and we will have dedications to causes and principles that are worthwhile. The universe has everything in it, good, bad, and indifferent, so-called. The bad, however, is not a principle. The bad is a misuse. It is the result of constant compromising. It is the result of selfishness, ignorance, and fear. And these things can only be cured by the love of God, the strength of the mind, and the dedication of the life. These things together will solve most of these problems. They're not insolvable. They're simply things we pay no attention to. We just keep on going along, hoping the unpleasant things will go away. They will never go away unless we send them away, and the only way we can send them away is by transforming them. They will not leave us, but we can create a new body for them, by means of which problems become donations to our security and our future. Every problem that we have is a blessing in disguise. Every sorrow that comes to us is a great opportunity for the experience of divine peace and joy. All these things are things we have to change. And if we were just physical people with minds and things like this, we'd never change them. But because of this strange world of mysterious causes behind us, this infiniteness of ourselves, so that we are not really just little people wandering around in our own little homes and streets and cities, but we are symbols, we are points of energy in the world. And behind each one of us is an inconceivable totality, a reservoir of infinite strength, infinite beauty, infinite reality. If we turn it on, we will have it. If we turn it on honestly, the shadows will disappear. For there is not enough darkness in all the world to put out the light of a single candle. Everything can be the way it should be. Everything can be beautiful. Everything can be fulfilled. Because the fulfillment, the energy is there. Heaven is not somewhere off in space. Heaven is in the upper realms of ourselves and our world. Heaven is where we make the right decisions and are glad. And having made these decisions, we cooperate with the earth to preserve it and to help it to serve us as wisely as it should. The astral light, then, is not just a place where you turn on a ritual, make a circle somewhere on a crossroad, and invoke demons. and try to protect yourself by putting yourself in a circle so the demon cannot get to you, but it can get to someone else. All of this is superstition belonging to the past. Anyone who favors it can favor it and will have a reality from it, a fantasy that is not true. A fantasy which can curse and endanger the soul for many, many years. A fantasy that brings sorrow, misery, fear, disillusionment, discouragement. These are the fantasies that come from not dreaming true. Dreams are beautiful. The nightmares give us trouble. And the nightmare, as always, is the cause of something we ate that we shouldn't have eaten. And it is also caused by something we thought we shouldn't have thought, some emotion we should not have endured, or some belief that is doing us no good. So we have to correct these things. But the interesting point is the energy. The nightmare has to have energy. The nightmares can be so real that it is more immediate than anything that happens in daylight. The dream can be so real. In a dream, we can travel around the world. In a dream, we can go to all the different nations out into space. We can conquer where the great scientific progresses of man can never go. The dreams are tremendous realities, and yet they are merely the stuff of fantasy. But they are great fantasy. They are the representation of what everything can be. The dream is a reality that hasn't come through yet, if it's a good dream. If it is a nightmare, it is an unreality that we are clinging to. Whichever way it is, we are all dependent upon one great energy. Call it God, call it nature, call it life, call it reality or being, but it is one great energy. And the future of the world and the future of ourselves depends entirely upon the use of this energy. To the ancients who did not know what to call it or how to use it, really, they called it the astral light. It was the light and stars and spirits of space that were hovering over the earth, near it. They were the strange entrances and exits of principles, dreams, hopes, aspirations, inventions. They were the great differences that infant born into this world, coming from there to here. The aged person departing, going from here to there. But both here and there, always part of one tremendous field of life. A field of life that is not only one great energy, but infinitely diversified. So that every thing that exists, every grain of sand has its place in the plan of things. And as it is this, so as this is so physically, it is also so mentally and emotionally. Therefore, the cultivation of our hearts and minds, the regeneration of our attitudes, the increase of faith, all these things have to start with a dream or with a fantasy. But if the fantasy is true, for experience builds a solid foundation under it. If the fantasy is not true, it will fade away and leave us disillusioned. But the greatest dreams we have are the true dreams, and the true dreams are the ones which will never fail. So in one way or another, we live in this world of dreams, of drifts, of shadows, but we also have within ourselves the power to use all of the resources of life. Within our own natures have been placed little seeds which can possibly unfold to become worlds. Each human being is a universe in the making. Every human being is an infinite being, forever and forever. But this infinite being is forever growing and unfolding. As it grows, joy and wisdom increase. As it stubbornly clings to its mistakes, it has heartaches. But either heartaches or joys, the end is inevitable. We're going to accomplish what is necessary. And when we do that, the invisible world will become a beautiful blanket to protect us, and a wonderful light and a wonderful artistry. And we will see the whole universe as a magnificent creation of infinite wisdom and infinite love. as we get to this, our own little problems fade away. And the energies with which we are endowed are the energies by which these dreams can be made to come true. And they are also the fields of energies where these dreams were born. And all together it makes a rather nice little package when we get around to it. Thank you.